Coach Randy Sanders fresh off the practice field. And it was good. The monsoon held off pretty much till it was over with, or at least it looked like to me it held off until then.
Yeah, it actually kept me in my truck there for a few minutes. But other than that, we got out on the practice field today, had some good work, had a little light drizzle there at one time, but nothing major, and I can certainly live with that.
Coach, let's go to the phone lines, and it's a guy familiar, or at least most folks I would assume are familiar with. He's been my color analyst for several years, former quarterback at ETSU, Matt Wilgum. Matt, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, guys. I'm excited to get the year kicked off. There's a lot of good things to look forward to. Coach, real excited about what you've been able to build on the last few years. But I do have a couple of questions and some anomalies here that I wanted to get addressed. First, is it possible, how is it possible that Jared Folks gets 8 years of playing for ETSU, and could he be possibly the first player in the history to draw Social Security and play football at the same time?
Well, man, first of all, it's good to hear from you. It's good to see you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you a lot more over the next several weeks. But let me clarify. Jared Folks hadn't played 8 years here. He's only played – this will be his fourth year. He played 4 years at Temple, so he's got 8 years in the NCAA. How it's possible, when he got here, he was playing his fifth year. We knew it was a possibility for him to get a sixth year because he had missed two seasons basically at Temple, and we appealed it and got the sixth year. He missed pretty much all the sixth year because of an injury. And Kay Lennon McGrew at the time was our compliance person. We said, well, shoot, if we got six, let's try for seven. And I'd never had it happen before, but she kind of looked at me with a funny look in her eyes, but why not? Yeah, let's try. And we appealed it, and lo and behold, we got a seventh year. And then COVID hits, and the seventh year doesn't count as a year, so voila, here comes year eight. And it's nice to have a guy with that kind of experience and everything else. It's funny, we were laughing the other day. He played his first year of college football. My freshmen were in the fifth grade. And when you think of it like that, that kind of puts it all in perspective.
And, Matt, you know I'm full of useless ETSU facts. He is actually the second player to play 8 years of college football. Dave Walker played four seasons, went semi-pro for two, then came to ETSU for track. Somebody said, you got to play football, so he played four more years of football. So he's actually the second player. Of course, I think the records back then probably weren't kept as good as they are now.
Well, probably not. And you hear stories of, like back in the 40s and 30s where a player would, play somewhere up north for 4 years and finish up and then come play somewhere in the south under a different name for four more years or vice versa.
Or for Bishop Sycamore, right? Either one of those.
Bishop Sycamore, yeah. Could have very well happened there. And actually still been eligible as a high school player there. But, I've never heard of it, somebody actually getting 8 years to play college football, but I'm certainly glad it's worked out for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's my next question. I'm sympathetic to quarterbacks.
The apologist.
The best friends for a quarterback are offensive linemen and a solid running game, and I think we've got to have two of the best combinations there in the Southern Conference this year. Can you talk about the offensive line play and in particular talk about your tackle play?
Well, we're fortunate to have a good offensive line. I think Matt McCutcheon, our offensive line coach, does an absolutely phenomenal job teaching those guys, getting them to bond, bringing them together. And teaching them and then it's one thing to teach them, but you got to get them to play hard, and that's always the first measure of a coach is, do your players play hard? And the offensive line plays hard, they practice hard, they're very attentive to their assignments and to what they have to do and to getting prepared to play on Saturday. You mentioned the running backs, having Quay Holmes and Jacob Saylor, seems like they've been here for a long time, and they have, and fortunately, hopefully we can keep them around for another year. But two good backs. I've been impressed with some of our young backs, what they did in preseason scrimmages. So having a run game is definitely a quarterback's best friend. And let's not forget what the tight ends do in the run game, you know, because we rely on those guys a lot. Nate Atkins, Noel West, Dawson Pearson, Temp State School, they do a phenomenal job blocking and then also being able to get out in the passing game and make plays that way for us. And it all works together. If you can run the ball, it becomes easier to throw it. And if you can throw it and make people defend the pass somewhat, then it becomes a whole lot easier to run the football. It's hard just to say you're going to run the ball unless you're like Citadel and you're a three-back option offense. Then you can probably just line up and say, we're going to run the ball, here we come. But it all works together.
Well, Coach, thank you. I'm going to jump off here and let others chime in, but really excited about the year and excited that we get football kicked off this weekend.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. As I said back in the spring, it's got a chance to be the best football year in history. You know, you play a schedule in the spring, have a chance to compete for a championship, played six games. We were all disappointed that we didn't get a chance at the seventh one or an eighth one or whatever the case may be, but got a chance to play six regular season games, and now we get to kick it off 11 more times in the fall. So if you like football, you like playing football, you like coaching football, what a great, great year that you don't have near as much off season to worry about. You get to play ball.
All right, Matt, appreciate the call. 423-631-5729, 423-631-5729 is the phone number to call. You can tweet us at Buck Sports Radio. You can join us on Facebook Live. Several folks have done that. Our first question on, and shocking that the first question is going to be centered around the quarterback, Coach. Which quarterbacks are available to play Saturday?
Well, I'm not going to get too in-depth on it. I do expect us to have some options. Tyler Rydell is going to be our starter, and if we need to make a change, we'll make a change. But he's our guy right now. He's the one we're planning to go with. Obviously, we've had a few injuries in the past, you know, that we've been dealing with, and our training staff's done a great job. But Tyler's our guy right now. We feel like he gives us the best opportunity to win on Saturday, and I expect him to go out there and play well for us.
Coach Jerry from Gray wants to know, what's your favorite stick after a win? Favorite cigar after a win?
You know, in any of them, I can keep lit. Biggest thing. I'm not real picky. Big on the Monte Cristos, I think. I like them. I like Punches. I like Fuentes. I like Upmans. I like Macanudos. I don't know. My dad used to love, 30 years, I would buy him a box of Dutch Master Corona Deluxe, and that was his favorite cigar. And, so I grew up on Dutch Masters Corona Deluxes because that's what I bummed from him, and that's what he gave me when we went fishing. So they're pretty good. They're not quite as expensive as some of the others, but you don't have to have a cutter to use them, so that's a good thing.
Coach Mark wants to know, after watching and looking at the tape, where do you feel like ETSU matches up against Vandy the best? Also said he's looking forward to heading down to Nashville Saturday to support the Bucs.
Well, it's hard to say where we match up the best. I think we have a good football team, but, we're playing SEC competition, and Vanderbilt had their struggles last year, but I think they had like 30 guys that didn't play most of their season. So they've got a lot of guys coming back. A lot of guys are going to be out there playing against us this week that probably opted out last year and didn't play, so you don't really see them on tape. Watch their spring game. They got a lot of guys. Their length, their size, I think that's – and just the overall speed. That's usually the biggest difference you get into when you try to step up a level and play like this is, we're used to – blocking defensive linemen that are 6'2", 6'3", 6'1", whatever, maybe 270, 80 pounds, and we're getting ready to go block guys that are 6'5", 300, have the same kind of quickness and agility. So that part is usually the biggest adjustment. It's just the overall size. And I do think we have a lot more depth than what we've had the last few years, but – that size over the course of a 60-minute football game oftentimes will wear you down a little bit.
Well, you tell we haven't been on the air for a while because the questions just come flying in, don't they, fast and furious.
That's a good thing. I'm glad people care. I care. I'm glad everybody else does too.
Well, you're tired of talking to me a lot. You tell me that every day.
I like talking to you better than some other people, but, I like talking to my coaches and my players, so everything else is part of the job.
Certainly, they've got tater tots and wings. Are you allowed to eat those still?
No, my wife's put me on lockdown.
No ice cream either?
Sugar-free.
Is that a thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, there is such a thing, yeah, but why?
I will say this. I checked a few minutes ago before we went on air. You can still get tickets to the game, $4, just to get in the building. You can get midfield 50 rows up for $7. You can sit front row for $35. So there should be no excuse to go down to Nashville. I mean, especially late night, right? You can go there, get a nice little room. You go out, you celebrate a Buck victory going down, was that Second Broadway and everything else going on down there?
So what you're saying is I got a whole lot of family that's cheap. I had to round up like 20 tickets, and they could have gone and bought them for $4.
I will say this. I'm one of those cheap guys, too, because I'm trying to get my wife on the company down there. But if not, I said I'll splurge the $7 for the midfield seats for you. Heck of a guy, aren't I?
What a guy.
Yeah. I know.
It's easy to see why you've been married so long now.
I mean, she only makes like triple what I do. So, I mean, I can only do what I can do. I'm on scholarship, so. Unlike you. I'm the opposite of you.
Yeah, I'm still paying Pell Grant, too. So.
All right, let's talk a little bit about and you mentioned already the kind of play in the spring should be a good time, all that. What has been the biggest difference, I guess, in the fall would be my first question, because normally you get 15 practices of spring, something like that.
Right.
But coming off the season, a good break, and then coming back in the fall, what's been the biggest difference in this fall compared to others?
That's a good question, Jay. I think the biggest difference to this point is, last year didn't count as a year of eligibility. So, for the most part, we brought back the same team we had in spring and added, six or seven new guys. Normally you report in the fall and you're out there with 25 or 26 or 27 new guys. That's their first opportunity to get on the field and practice and learn how you practice, start learning your schemes, your system, your verbiage, everything else. So you have a whole lot of guys that really know very little about what you're doing. This fall, the number of newcomers that's kind of starting from scratch is very limited. So we've had a lot of guys out there that when you called a play in practice, you were able to run the play because the guys knew what to do. They might not be doing it exactly as you wanted them to, but they knew, for the most part, what to do. And that was true on both sides of the ball. So having that the carryover, having the guys that's been around, having the experience has allowed us to probably progress at a faster rate than what you normally do through your fall camp. And I think we're much farther along. Hopefully that will translate, especially as you get into the season. But I think you look around the league, that's pretty much the case everywhere. It's the case in, Greenville, South Carolina. It's the case in Birmingham. It's the case pretty much around the Southern Conference. And I've said a number of times, I think it's going to be one of the most exciting years of college football out there, just because you're going to have a lot of good football teams and a lot of teams that have experience and have people returning. And I think it's going to be a tremendously competitive fall, not just in the Southern Conference, but all across the country in college football as it goes.
Coach, we've got a couple minutes. Let's talk a little bit about the contest. Certainly last time you played, everything's different. I get it, 2019, but had a pretty good first half.
Right.
Came on with some stops, able to move the football. I think it was a blocked field goal, kind of swung some momentum, but able to do so. And then certainly the second half wasn't so kind to you. But similar situation, it seems like, when you get in these games, if you can kind of survive the first half right and just have a shot in the second half, especially I would assume with a new coaching staff who's trying to change a culture that's been losing and losing, certainly they're looking to get off to a quick start if they can.
Well, I'm sure they are looking to get off to a quick start. And, I haven't been on the other side of these games. You always tell your team that the longer you let them hang around, the tougher it becomes. If you go out there and you play like you can and you try to knock them out early, usually the game, you know, it gets under control and you feel like, you know, you've got the game where you want it. We got to compete. We got to stick around. Like I say, it's not a matter of who we're playing. It's not a matter of them being in the SEC or FCS or FBS or anything. It's about ETSU. We got to go play the best game we can play. We got to, you know, the game's simple. If you block well, if you tackle well, if you run the football, if you don't leave it laying on the ground, if you catch it when you throw it, then you throw it to the right color jerseys and you kick it and you don't make many stupid mistakes, you become a pretty good football team. And I think we have the ability to be a good football team. And we've shown the ability to do all those things I just talked about so far this fall. Now, the level of competition steps up, yes. But it's still football, and it's still a matter of doing what you know how to do. I tell the players, you know what to do. It's up to you to do what you know. And as long as we don't panic, go out there and play, compete, battle. You know, hopefully we can get it into the second half. We can get it into the fourth quarter with a chance to make the play and win the game.